Today's episode is packed full of health tips for navigating the holidays when you are trying to conceive. The holidays often bring many events and circumstances that aren't always in alignment with optimal health and fertility, such as drinking alcohol, overindulging on desserts and treats, traveling, being stressed, and navigating toxin exposures while traveling or staying at other people's homes, just to name a few. Today, I interviewed Sadie Ackerman, an integrative mental health consultant, and we discussed how to make better choices while still enjoying yourself, how to navigate choosing different behaviors than you have in the past, and how to have difficult conversations if they are necessary. This episode really applies to all of us as we move into the holiday season. However, if you dream of having a baby soon or someday, this is especially important for you. Let's dive right in. Welcome to Healthy as a Mother, the podcast for becoming and being a mother, with your co-hosts, Dr. Leah Gordon and Dr. Morgan McDermott, two naturopathic doctors who get it.
Each week, we teach you how to be the healthiest mother you can be, from fertility and preconception to pregnancy and birth prep, through postpartum and throughout motherhood, empowering you with the natural health guidance and education you're not getting elsewhere, so you can confidently navigate the broken system at large.
The real, the raw, the untalked about. And remember, this information is not intended to diagnose, treat, or manage any disease. Always consult with your doctor before making any changes. Hey, I am so excited for today's episode. I am interviewing Sadie Ackerman. She is a mental health consultant who specializes in integrative psychology and emotional well-being to help highly sensitive women navigate their sensitivities, family and romantic relationships, career, trauma, and mood disorders. She is especially gifted at teaching others emotional intelligence, communication, and healthy relationship tools. And she also happens to be my sister, but that has really nothing to do with how brilliant she is. And I am so thrilled that you are here on the Healthy as a Mother podcast. Thank you for being here.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for that intro. That's so sweet.
Yeah. So today we actually have two parts that we're recording together around trying to conceive during the holidays. And this first episode is going to be around health tips of how to stay healthy and navigate that piece of conceiving through the holidays. And we'll do another episode on navigating the emotions that come up around the holidays and trying to conceive. And you're brilliant at both of these topics. So let's just dive right in. I put a question box on my Instagram asking people what sort of situations they felt were challenging to navigate during the holidays. And one that came up was alcohol. So let's talk about that first and foremost. How you're such an expert at people navigating difficult conversations, navigating difficult emotions around things, and you yourself are highly sensitive. So you also have to navigate not drinking and being mindful about the food that you eat and all of that. So I feel like you're such a perfect person to ask this question. So what would you say to someone who is concerned around navigating alcohol around the holidays and around family and gatherings?
Yeah, great question. I'm so glad that we're talking about this. On a really high level, alcohol in our society has been deemed so normal and so available all the time. And whether you're a person who loves alcohol and enjoys it socially, perfect, love that. Or whether you're a person that maybe doesn't like it so much, but feels some pressure to engage socially if everyone else is quote unquote doing it. I just want to bring forward the fact that A, you have permission to do whatever it is you want to do, whatever is healthy for you and what your choice is around it. If other people are pressuring you, or if you're feeling an internal source of that pressure, I would love to just invite you to step back and be like, what does my body really want and what's really good for me? And not giving into that pressure. So for instance, if you're at a gathering and everyone's drinking and maybe they assume that you're going to drink, or in the past, that's just how they've known you to be. If you've decided not to drink, which one of the important things with this topic is to have a game plan, right? The most that we can support ourselves in social gatherings is to have a plan, be prepared. So before you even go to the gathering, knowing that there are going to be people there drinking, they might be asking you if you're going to drink or if you'd like a drink. First off, know what your limit is or know what your boundaries are. If you want to go no drinking, then be really clear about that with yourself and feel like you are accepting of that. And when you get there, that conversation of like, if someone offers you a drink, they're like, hey, do you want a drink? You can simply say, you know what? Thank you so much for that offer. I'm actually going to stick to my fill in the blank, whatever beverages that you're really enjoying, whether it's just water or tea or a mocktail, which I think we'll talk about in a minute too. Just have that internal conviction that you have permission to be different. You have permission to do what's healthy for your body and set your boundaries ahead of time so that you're not trying to scramble in your mind and then you're like, oh my gosh, like, yeah, okay, I'll take a drink. And then you feel awkward about it.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. That's such a good first step. So before going to a gathering, knowing your boundaries, knowing what you're going to say or not say. So what would you tell someone who feels like they don't necessarily want to announce to the party or to the gathering that they're going to, that they are trying to conceive and therefore avoiding alcohol? Maybe, you know, what are some scripts or ideas of how they could handle that? For example, let's say you're someone who typically has a glass of wine at Thanksgiving, or, you know, likes to have a cocktail around Christmas or whatever holiday you celebrate, and your cousins or your uncles or aunts or whoever, or your siblings know you to be someone who does. And all of a sudden you don't want to drink because you either could be pregnant or you're actively trying and you want to reduce alcohol, but they don't want to just turn around and say, I'm trying to get pregnant. You know, what would you say? Like, these are these challenging conversations that if people don't have prep ahead of time, they do kind of, for people like me, I sort of panic in the moment because I'm not a good liar. And it's like, it's just hard to navigate. So what would you say to someone like that?
Yeah, great question as well. With these things, I don't encourage anybody to lie, because who you are is perfect and beautiful. And if you happen to have a family or you're going to be around people that are more judgmental or that are really going to question you or drill you, that might happen and it might not. So the biggest thing is being genuine, being honest, and being authentic, but leaving out the details that you don't care to share or that you don't want people to know. Again, a lot of this comes back to like giving yourself the permission to do what is best for you and to say what is really true for you. So if you don't want to bring up the conversation that you're trying to conceive or that you're drinking for that reason, don't bring it up. And you can say instead, like, you know what? I know that I was drinking in the past, but I'm just choosing not to right now. Simple as that. It doesn't have to be anything more complicated. Like sometimes we make things out to be really complicated and we, you know, think about that we have to explain and we have to give all these reasons and rationale. And ultimately at the end of the day, when you're coming from a place of like having to over explain, then that might make people more suspicious. So if you're just confidently saying like, yeah, I'm not going to drink tonight, I'll just have a bubbly water, thank you so much, or whatever it is. And then if they do drill you with questions and it makes you feel really uncomfortable, you can stand up for yourself and be like, I appreciate that you want to know what's going on and I'm not in a place to want to discuss it. So can we talk about something else?
Awesome. I love your scripts. You always have such good words to say. You're a specialist in NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, and so many different amazing things that you work with in your work with people. And I learned so much from you, all of the things that you say. And sometimes I try to channel my inner Sadie when I'm out and I'm like, what would Sadie say? I'm like really bad at handling difficult conversations because I'm a people pleaser. I'm working on it, but you know all about that.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's talk about like some practical tips for someone who is coming to an event. You know, we had talked about this earlier and things that I've done in the past too. If you want to have a drink, you know, maybe you're not in the 2-week window of, you know, waiting to see if you are pregnant. Maybe you just had your period and you're getting ready to ovulate, but you're not pregnant yet. You know, if you want to engage in a little bit of alcohol, a glass of wine or a cocktail, you know, that's up to you and your choice. But if you don't want to have any, or, you know, you want to kind of have more control over that because you don't know what kind of options are going to be places, one of the best things that we discussed was bringing your own drinks and or ingredients for something like a mocktail. Can you speak a little bit about that and just some of the practical tips so people feel more in control of their beverages?
Totally. Yeah. I think in some of these situations, right, sometimes the anxiety might get the best of us. Like, what are they going to think of me? Are they going to judge me? Are they going to ask me all these questions? Like, how do I, you know, fly below the radar and just not provoke a lot of suspicion or whatever it is? So if you're not somebody who other people know you to carry your own beverages and it's like awkward to you or it feels weird, That's okay. Just accept that this is a point in time in your life when things change. Like, people change all the time. That's a very normal thing. So, to your point, you can bring your ingredients for mocktails. If you have like specific examples, you know, you can bring a seltzer water or cranberry juice and limes or lemon juice, and, you know, make your own thing so that you feel like you're a part of the group and that you have a drink in your hand. But it doesn't necessarily have to be alcoholic. Yeah. Or if you want a specific type of alcohol that's maybe more safe for you or that you enjoy, a lot of ways to tiptoe around social situations is to make it humorous, or to bring, you know, a joke to it, or to just make it funny. If you don't have that personality, that's okay. It's just that, you know, if you just make it a little bit more light, then people roll it off their shoulders really easily. It's like, ha ha ha, you know, laugh it off. I almost never drink, and it's a very, very rare occasion that I do. And I have been made fun of a lot. I've been judged a lot. I've been questioned a lot, and it's going to feel uncomfortable at first. So just be prepared that it's not something that feels really great per se, but you'll get used to it. And keep in mind and remember that you're doing this for you, for the health of your future body, your future baby, your future family. You know, really have that strong intention and reason. For me, I always go back to that really strong why. Like, why am I doing this? And at the end of the day, it's honestly because alcohol just makes me feel like crap. Even if I have like a tiny sip, it feels like poison to my body. So I'm really connected to why I'm doing what I'm doing. And that helps me stay strong, even if people are having their own opinions about my choices. So again, bringing that own cocktail, it's simple with just bringing the ingredients that you want. And you can also invite others to join in with you so that it doesn't feel like you're just this like lonely island with your own little party, right? It's like, does anyone who want, you know, this thing, you could name it something, like come up with a fun name for the type of drink that you're drinking so that it becomes more integrated.
Yeah. I love that. You know, or you could even, you know, there's lots of different levels of who we are as people. So for me, I just imagine myself, let's say I wanted to have a tiny bit of wine, but I wanted to make sure it was organic. You know, let's say I'm not in the, in the window where I could be pregnant, then I'll bring my bottle of organic wine as a gift for the host, but making sure that I only drink that one that I brought. Or like you said, bringing the ingredients for a mocktail, and you could volunteer to make the drink. Say, I'm making drinks for anybody, and you make yourself a drink. No one has to know it doesn't have alcohol in it. And you could say, you know, to so-and-so, do you want a drink like mine? Do you want it with or without alcohol? You know, and make it like very easy. And then if people want to add vodka or gin or whatever, fine. But like, they don't need to know you're not drinking if you want to keep it secret, or you just be honest, like, yeah, I'm making a mocktail. I'm not drinking this season. I think you'd be surprised. A lot of people are very open to that, but we had a lot of questions about alcohol on Instagram. So those are all awesome scripts. So let's move on to sweets and treats and desserts, which is another big part of the holidays. And when people are trying to conceive, they're trying to be mindful of reducing sugar intake and maybe not eating food triggers like dairy or gluten. That's how I am when the holidays get really tricky, or, you know, just wanting to stay in that healthy space because they either could be pregnant or they're preparing to try to conceive again. So what would you say to someone navigating that part of the holidays?
Sure. So listen, eating healthy is never a crime. Wanting to take care of your body is never a wrong or bad thing. So I'm going to wrap back around to the same idea with the alcohol, where it's like, again, giving yourself permission to either change your habits or your behaviors. You're in a new season. You're experimenting with something totally different. If you're the type of person that used to eat like 6 cookies in one sitting because they just look so yummy, I was once one of them, then maybe this season you're going to just reduce it to 2. So having a game plan, again, is going to be a really, really helpful thing for you, where you really get settled into like, what do I want? What is okay with me and what is not okay with me? Find that threshold that feels good for you and then stick to it. And even if you don't, self-forgiveness is always a thing, but having a plan in mind where you have a commitment, like, okay, I know that maybe I'm used to eating all of the pumpkin pie, but I'm going to only have a slice and that's going to be great. Feel the gratitude for the amount that you give yourself so that it feels this like filling and fulfilling, but don't overindulge.
Yeah, I love that. And For me, I am a person who really does love sweets around the holidays, and I'm a person who doesn't eat gluten or dairy or corn or oats. So it makes it challenging, I know, to go to other people's gatherings. And totally. So I am that person who offers to bring the dessert. So if someone if I say, you know, what can I bring? And they're like, oh, just bring a side. I'm the kind of person who will say, you know what, I'll bring the dessert, or I'll offer ahead of time. Or even if they don't say, and they have all the desserts already made, I will still bring my own dessert, maybe black bean brownies or a gluten-free apple pie or my own pumpkin cookies that I love. You know, something like that is I'll bring, and other people can enjoy them. They don't know that they're maybe healthier, lower in sugar, you know, not having dairy or gluten. But I know that I have something that I get to enjoy, and I don't have to indulge in it necessarily, but I don't feel like I'm missing out and feeling really restricted, which again is something people, if they go extreme, it's just not sustainable, you know, to be so strict and to say, oh, I'm never going to have any sugar or go on these like crazy extreme things. You know, I think there's a piece of pleasure and joy that comes with the holidays around food. And when you're trying to conceive and have a baby and be healthy, the goal is not to be as strict as absolutely possible and not have anything like that. It's all about finding a balance. And that's just something that is important to me and that I see in my patients and clients. Do you agree?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. We were even talking about this, I think this morning, about how the stress that comes with certain aspects of food can sometimes be more detrimental than the food itself.
Yeah.
So if you're like so restrictive, or you're so worried and concerned about the health of the food that you're eating and the amount of sugar that's in it, and obviously like keep in mind your sensitivities and your intolerances and probably don't consume those. But when we're talking about the level of like, how much do I consume, or which ones do I choose to consume or not, allow yourself to be guided by your body. This is an exercise that I have used to really help me tune into my body, because I've been really dissociated from it before. Is I will look at a food, or I'll go up to a food, and I'll, like, this sounds a little bit wooey, but I'll connect to the food and I'll think about eating it, and I'll ask my body, is this okay with you? Mm-hmm. Right? Like, our bodies are like pets. They're like their own creatures that have intelligence. That's how they can do stuff without us even telling it what to do. Right? So okay. I like to honor my body and respect my body and give it permission, or rather give it a chance to speak up and say, like, does this feel good to you or does it not? And I will honor whatever you say. Mm-hmm. Right. So if there's, you know, I really love cinnamon rolls. I am like a like Cinnabon cinnamon rolls. I will go to town and I will eat a whole box of them. I used mm-hmm. to do that. And, you know, if there's cinnamon rolls that are gluten-free and don't have any of my sensitivities to them, then I'll ask my body and I'll go up to it and I'll connect to it. I'll think about eating it and what it will feel like sitting in my body once I've eaten it. And I'll be like, is this cool with you or is it not? And I listen for the answer. And if you don't really know, then I would invite you to start getting more connected to that feeling of your body. And if you don't know, then try it. And if it's like, oh no, this didn't feel good, then you'll know for next time. So don't be so hard on yourself. Don't be so stringent. Like, it's all okay. And these are all things that you learn over time. It's not like you have to expect yourself to be perfect right away. These things, even you and I, we've practiced for 10, 12, 15 years. Like, it's been a lot of exposure that we've had to it. So just take on these tips and just try it step by step and see what comes.
Yeah. And the other thing to remember when trying to conceive and around the space of fertility is, with anything with health, it is not the one-off things. It is not the one dinner that you ate at grandma's house. It is not the one time you had a cocktail. You know, health is more of an accumulation of what you're doing all day, every day, what you're doing on a routine basis over and over and over again. And so even if you're pregnant, or even if you're trying to conceive, and let's say you are pregnant, you didn't know, and you had, you know, a little bit of wine or some desserts, it's not the end of the world. You know, habitual eating unhealthy over and over again throughout your pregnancy is definitely going to impact you. But again, like you said, the stress that could come with it, like, you go into a gathering on high alert because you're like, everything in here is going to hurt me and my baby. Like, you just need to have an awareness, yes, for sure, of the things that aren't as ideal, but to also like relax into it and not bring that intense stress and overwhelm that can come with trying to be perfect in health, because I think that that is such so much more detrimental. So it is a balance. And I talk about this a lot in the fertility space of finding that balance between knowing what is ideal and healthy and also not obsessing over it to the point that your stress is now the most unhealthy thing for you and your baby.
Absolutely. Yeah. Just quickly chiming in, the 80-20 principle.
Yeah.
If you've never heard of it, that's okay. But just 80%, you're doing the very best you can. 20%, you mess up. Okay, cool. It's 20%. Don't worry about it. So having that idea in the back of your mind is like, it's okay. I'm 80-20. I'm good. I think that can really help.
And the other thing I want to bring into this for anyone trying to conceive or not is, you know, I see this a lot in my clients and patients, especially who are health focused, is they will say things like alcohol and sweets are cheating. They will say, oh, I'm having my cheat meal, or I'm cheating right now. And I really encourage people to not have that mentality around anything, because if you're going to choose to indulge in something, I really want you to have an intention behind it, like you said, and honor that you are choosing to engage in a pleasurable activity and that it is not a cheat from a restrictive, rigid lifestyle that you've created, because it brings such a different energy. You know, if you're going to eat the cookie anyways, don't come at the cookie with this, I'm cheating and, you know, I'm being bad and I'm so naughty, because it's such a different energy than saying, you know what, I'm super healthy most of the time. Like, this is sort of my energy around food, is I'm super healthy most of the time. Yes, I know I'm not going to eat the Cinnabon at the grocery store or at the gas station, you know, or like some things I will choose to like not ever, but like, let's say I choose to engage in a certain dessert or sweet or alcoholic beverage, I'm going to choose to enjoy it. It doesn't mean I need to have 10 of them. It doesn't mean I need to keep drinking. It doesn't mean I need to have the whole box of cookies, but in the time that I'm eating it, I'm honoring that pleasure and the joy that I'm experiencing versus feeling guilty the entire time. And that's the other thing I want to bring up to people, because I think when people dive into the world of health and trying to be healthy, and in the conceiving space, that's a big part of it, I do see this mentality of them beating themselves up and having this cheat or guilt mentality. And I would advise people to, again, be aware and move forward, not in that energy.
Totally. I 100% agree.
Let's take a quick break to hear a word from our sponsors. The holidays are a magical time full of parties and gatherings, sweet treats, and traveling. These are all fun and wonderful, and all of these increase our susceptibility to getting sick. When we are trying to conceive, we want to avoid getting sick as much as we can. This is why I love Needed's immune support product. This product is pure magic. It has zinc, elderberry, and postbiotics to support the immune system, and it tastes delicious. It's safe to take during pregnancy, so if you become pregnant while taking it, no big deal. Since it's a powder, it's easy to take on the go or while visiting friends or family. We all need as much help as we can get this season, so I highly recommend you order some for yourself. Visit thisisneeded.com and use code HEALTHYMOTHER to save 20% off your first order. Again, visit thisisneeded.com and use code HEALTHYMOTHER to save 20%. Okay, back to the show. So let's talk about going to other people's homes, whether it's you're going and staying somewhere for the holidays or you're going to others' houses for parties or gatherings. Some of the things that come up are toxins in other people's homes, things like, you know, Glade plugins that are emitting a bunch of fragrance and phthalates that we know impact our babies and our development. Any other toxins, you know, hand soap, you know, anything that someone could come in contact with, colognes, perfumes. So how would you advise someone to either have a difficult conversation with someone who they're maybe close enough to have that conversation about preparing their home, or, you know, how would you just advise someone to navigate that if they have to go somewhere that they maybe feel less safe or less, healthy in?
Yeah. Awesome. These are all such great questions. At a really high level, I would advise having a recovery strategy. What I mean by that is when you go somewhere and you know that there's going to be people that are different minded than you that maybe do wear a lot of cologne or that have the Glade plugins or toxic soap, you know, whatever, then have a recovery strategy for right when you get home. Have lots of glutathione so that you can start detoxing, maybe get some binders, have some supplements that, you know, really support you. Maybe make sure there's enough time to take a bath and like get hot or sweat, or plan to do a sauna session the next day. Anything that you can get your hands on or that you can do to support your body detoxing from the exposure of those toxins is really big. Because if you don't have any control over the environment, which we'll get to in a minute of, you know, maybe trying to insert some suggestions, if you don't have any control whatsoever, then a recovery strategy for when you get back will ensure that the exposure that you have will not affect you for days and days and days to come. That's something that I've been learning very, very recently, and it's really helped a lot, because sometimes when we're out in the world, we don't have control over our environment or over everything. And just that recovery strategy process can be great.
Yeah. And I just want to chime in really quickly for those. So in the trying to conceive time for a man, if you are actively trying to conceive, I wouldn't do sauna. So he could do something like glutathione, binders, detox stuff really well. There's resources about all of that on my website and in my courses, if you're curious. And then for a woman, I'm okay with sauna in the first 2 weeks of the cycle up into ovulation, but then avoiding sauna after ovulation in case you could be pregnant. We just don't want to be in the sauna in those early weeks. And also in those first, in the 2 week wait, you know, from ovulation to the next period, we don't want to be actively detoxing. So something like binders would be great, where you're kind of binding up the toxins, and doing gentle detox, like walking outside and getting fresh air and maybe taking a warm bath, but not a hot bath, those kind of things. But in the 2 weeks from your period to ovulation, you can absolutely detox. So it just depends on where you are in your cycle.
Awesome. So glad that you brought that up. That's why you're a specialist in fertility. It's important to know those things. Like if we don't know them, then we might do something that is like, oops, maybe I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot to know, but it's important, and all of these things are great. So yeah. What would you suggest? Like, for example, you know, just to throw it in there, I was going to stay at an Airbnb in San Diego when I flew down to transfer my embryo. And I messaged the Airbnb person and asked if, one, they have a history of mold at all, or if they use like Glade plugins or any other scented plugins, because I'm very sensitive to phthalates and fragrance, and it makes me feel terrible and sick. And I take great steps to keep myself out of toxins. And right when I'm newly pregnant, I don't want to necessarily be in that. So that's one example of, you know, taking an additional step or having a conversation with somebody. But what about if it's a person like an aunt or a sibling or a friend, or someone you don't know? I don't know. Like, how would you navigate that?
Yeah, great question. So anytime we have hard conversations, it's really important to always make it about ourselves. So this is not a blaming, like, can you do this? Or like, you shouldn't be doing this. And not blaming them, not judging them, not condemning them for what they're doing or their choices, because then that will just create a battle and put them on the defense. Mm-hmm. Anytime we have hard conversations, we want to come very, very offensively, in the sense that, like, we're not trying to attack or trying to make them wrong. Mm-hmm. How we can do that is by always staying in the frame of I feel, I need, I experience, I learned, I would like to request, those types of phrases. Mm-hmm. So let's say, for instance, you're a family member has Glade plugins, then you can go up to them and say, hey, Aunt Sue, I have learned just recently with this doctor that I follow that, the scents that come into the air from these things that are plugged in, they can sometimes impact our bodies in a really negative way. And because I've noticed I feel so much better without them, I haven't been using them in my own space. I'm just wondering if it would be okay with you if we unplug them while I'm here and while we're having this gathering. I don't want you to feel wrong about having them. I just have learned this new information and it's been really powerful for me. Would you be okay with us doing that?
Awesome.
Right. That's so asking great. That permission from them too, giving them some context and background, why you're asking what you're asking, keeping it about you, not about them, and making a request, say, would it be okay? Or may I request that we do this, that, or the other? And then asking them the question to say yes or no. if they're a difficult person and they say, no, I like it, or no, we can't do that, I hope that's not the answer that you get. But you can push back a little bit, and not in a defensive way, but just, I totally understand where you're coming from. I get that you don't want to do this. I would really appreciate and feel more safe here if we did get to remove them just for the time that I'm here, and then you can put them back in. Would that be okay? So don't be afraid to push back a little bit. If they don't understand, then you can give them more information. Or if they, for whatever reason, have any other excuse, then keep giving them what they need to allow them to support you with your request.
That's awesome. You're so good at this. I feel like I'm such a people pleaser, so I don't say anything. And I'm sure a lot of people listening to me or listening to this feel similar. And you're so good at having real, authentic, honest conversations with people. And I think having examples like what you're giving is so helpful for people to see how an appropriate way to bring up this stuff is really, you know, it's just helpful. It's always been helpful for me. When I learned the come from the I statement, always make it about you, not about them. I mean, that's helped me in my own relationship with my husband, because when it's like, you do this, blah, blah, blah. And I still need to be mindful of it, because I've noticed lately I've been doing that more. And they, people just do get really upset. They immediately go into like attack mode, or like I'm defending myself mode, and you don't get anywhere with that. So I love that. That's such great advice. So what about, let's see, is there anything else we want to talk about going to others' homes? I guess if you're around people and they're, you know, have strong perfume or cologne and you're trying to kind of avoid that, you know, I guess politely avoiding them, is there anything else that you would say to that?
Yes, I'll answer that. And I just had one quick thought from the very last thing we were talking about. If you are more of that personality of like the people pleaser, I used to be that way as well. So I completely relate. I've had to force myself to be a little bit more assertive, to stand up for myself, because I've gotten into situations where I've almost died because I haven't stood up for myself and what I need. So if you're having a little bit of trepidation with approaching somebody to have a conversation or to make a request or to express what it is that you need, then you can say that. Like, I always encourage the people I work with, like, be authentic. Just be like, hey, I'm really scared and nervous to ask you this, but would it be okay if I talked to you about something? And then that person immediately puts them in an energy of like, oh my gosh, yeah, like, what's going on? How can I support you? Or hopefully, right? Like, unless you're talking to someone that's like not as supportive or loving, then that would be a little bit more challenging. I would advise you to maybe talk to somebody else that you know could understand where you're coming from. But you can be genuine and be like, hey, I want to talk to you about something, but I'm really nervous about it. Is that okay? Something like that.
I love that. Okay. So the three biggest tips I got from that are speak about you, come from an I statement, ask permission, because then when you ask permission and they say yes, it feels like, you know, you can now have this conversation and they've given you permission to do that. And then be authentic and tell them that it's challenging for you to have that conversation. I think those are three amazing tips that I'm going to remember myself. I learned so much from you. It's great.
You're so sweet. So then, yeah, the other question about like, if there's scent on a person, there, you know, the joke is like, we'll just politely avoid them. That's actually legit. Like, if you are noticing that somebody on their person, like their scent is really triggering to you, or it's like too much, unless you're really close with the person and want to have one of these conversations and let them know that like what they're wearing could be toxic for them. And if you don't want to have that conversation, then if you're around them, then this is going to sound a little bit funny, but not necessarily try to hold your breath. But if you can breathe in a sense where like, if you have to have, this is like, if you have to have a conversation, I would advise that you do politely, like try to avoid them, or like if they come near you, then just make up an excuse or a reason in your mind to go to a different part of the room or to take a break outside or something like that. But if you have to be in close contact with them, or they're, you know, really got you wrapped into a conversation, then in a gentle way, you can turn your head and breathe in and then face them again.
I love this. People love me like, that's so funny, yeah, but we get it.
It's really weird. I know it's weird, but like, I have to do this sometimes. We're like, I might like make an excuse that like, oh, I got to go get my drink, and I'll like take a lot of deep breaths so that I can get fresh air. And then when I'm around that person, I take shallower breaths so that I'm not breathing it in so much. And the most that I can, I find a way to like talk to them with a little bit more space, or I try to put a counter in between us or a piece of furniture, or not making it awkward, but just kind of like leading and guiding them into a physical position where I don't have to be super close to them.
Yeah, I love that. And the other thing with just toxins I'll speak to, again, this is, you just have to remember that not every little incident is going to impact your fertility. But if you are really worried about things like plastic or these other toxins, as we've mentioned with other components, bringing your own stuff is the best. You know, so if you're going to a gathering where you know they buy plastic water bottles, or they, you know, are going to give you hot cocoa and all of the plastic cups and all these things, and you're trying to avoid BPA and other things, just bring your own mug, bring your own water bottle. You know, I do that all of the time because I never know what I'm going to be encountering. So I always bring my own, you know, reusable glass water bottle or whatever. If you're going caroling and you know that there's going to be hot cider or cocoa and they're going to be in the plastic cups that are just leaching plastic, just bring your own, you know, to-go coffee mug and fill it up there. So anything that you can do to kind of bring stuff to an event, if you're not sure, is another really easy way to avoid toxins and just feeling more healthy in environments that you don't know or that are unpredictable.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
Okay. The next thing we're going to talk about is traveling. People brought up the fact of traveling. The holidays are really busy. Go, go, go. Just all of that. So what would you say to someone trying to conceive and wanting to be healthy in the midst of traveling?
And like what specifically, what might be an issue that they encounter?
Well, let's just talk about one, saying no to events that you don't want to go to. So I just have this picture in my mind. First, I'll bring up, it's okay to prioritize rest and not feeling guilty about it. I think the holidays can be a time when everyone's inviting you to different things. You have all sorts of stuff. You know, let's say you were invited to a get together in another city and you need to fly in. It's okay to not attend every single thing. If you are feeling really drained from the flight and they have, you know, a dinner tonight and a dinner tomorrow night and another thing, like it's okay to take a break and not attend everything. But I know a lot of people really struggle with that. So how would you advise someone if they feel overwhelmed, like they have to say yes to everything when they don't want to?
Yeah, that's happens so frequently. I am one of those people too. Like I have FOMO. I don't want to miss out. I spent, you know, in that specific situation, like this is the time that I have to be with these people, or not have to, but that I get to be with these people. And so there is a lot of mental and emotional pressure around the holidays, which I do find like a lot of people that come to me for a one-on-one, this is the time of year where a lot of their stuff comes up. So when you are faced with this, recognize that it's just your stuff coming up and there's really easy ways to handle it. So, you know, Lee and I talk about how like we have people pleasing patterns, or, you know, we're this or we're that. Like we're aware that we have certain things about us and our personality that create certain circumstances. So if you're the type of person that's like me and you don't want to miss out and you feel really overwhelmed by all of the engagements, but you don't want to go, my biggest piece of advice is settle into being willing to accept who you are and what you need. Around the holidays, that is something that gets really put in front of our face, because not only family as one of, it's not only family that's one of our deepest triggers and the thing that makes us face ourselves on the deepest level, but the number two point is that we do have to face ourselves on the deepest level. Like these experiences, while they're most pleasurable and they're wonderful and they're great, we will probably be faced with the experience of ourselves having certain things about ourselves that we either like or don't like. So to be a little bit more concrete about it, if you have a lot of engagements that you feel overwhelmed about, admit that to yourself. And again, give yourself permission. Like so much of our healing as people and our health is about permission, about being who we are and admitting and acknowledging what we need, and then being able to give ourselves what we need. and not necessarily caring how that's going to be received by others, right? With that people pleaser pattern or background, it can feel terrifying to disappoint people or to feel like you're not giving your all, or that you're not acting in accordance to how they think that you should be acting, or mm-hmm. that you're not going to be loved if you don't give and give and give and give. Like, those are all very scary things to face. So if you are facing them, like, let's dig into the stuff that is causing you to feel that way rather than, you know, feeling wrong about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. That's great. So if let's get, give a script example, like, let's say you're going to an event or a series of events with family or whatever, and you just feel that going to all of them is going to be overwhelming, and there's one that you want to stay back and maybe rest and sleep or be on your own. What's an example of what you would say to the person hosting or something like that?
Yeah. So this is a situation that can be overlaid to a lot of different situations. So even if yours isn't this exact scenario, you can still take this idea. What you want to do is have a appreciation of that person. So you can say something along the lines of, thank you so much for putting this all together. I know how much work and time it took and how much energy went into it. And I love that all of you guys are doing this. I'm finding that my body's really asking for whatever it is, whether it's more rest or more alone time or, you know, whatever it is, a bath or whatever. I'm really finding that my body's asking for this right now. So while I would really love to join, I need to prioritize this right now. And I would love to join the next one that you're willing to join. So mm-hmm. it's kind of a sandwich. I don't know if you've ever heard of like the compliment sandwich, but mm-hmm. you're acknowledging all of the good things, like, thank you so much. I love da da da. I am so appreciative of da da da. I acknowledge all the da da da. And this is what I need to do. Thank you so much for understanding that. I'm so excited to join this thing. Like, I'm so excited to join the dinner tomorrow night or whatever yeah. it is.
Oh, that's great. I think the acknowledging all the effort that they did is a really key piece, because I know in certain circumstances in my life, if someone just doesn't show up or they leave early or they just seem very like aloof, even though I've maybe made great efforts to make a separate, you know, entree for them, you know, that they could have when maybe someone else couldn't or whatever. If there's no acknowledgement of the effort, it can feel really hurt, you know, when you're the one hosting, hurtful. Yeah. So I think that that's such a beautiful way to do it, because if someone came to me, if I was hosting, let's say, and I invited someone and they said it that way, it would just be so much better, even if I went to great efforts to accommodate them. So I think that that's such a helpful tool and tip. Thank you so much for that.
Yeah.
The other thing I want to say around traveling and just doing all of this stuff is keeping up on immune support. As we get stressed and we're traveling, we're around a lot of different people, we're exposed to stuff. And we know we don't want to be sick and in early pregnancy if we can avoid it. Having fevers and things like that aren't ideal. So it's not like you need to stay home and not travel or, you know, do anything, but just supporting your immune system as much as you can. The number one piece is resting, sleeping, and not staying out late every single night, waking up early, trying to do it all, you know, that will drain your body. So saying exactly like you said, giving your body the time to rest and asking, you know, permission or not permission, but just requesting that of others. Mm-hmm. And then other immune support, like from Needed and other things like that, the steps that you can take to support yourself as you're traveling are really key. So I love the immune support by Needed. Other nutrients include zinc, vitamin D, vitamin C, quercetin can be really helpful. There's nasal sprays that you can get, X-Clear or whatever they call it.
Not the TV provider. Or
whatever. Yeah. that you can spray in your nose when you're traveling in an airplane or at the airport that will prevent, you know, the viruses and things from coming into your space. So there's a bunch of things that you can do to kind of support that. The other thing is supporting rest. So you had mentioned a product by Healthy Gut. Can you mention that? And then I'll talk about another one.
Yeah. It's called Be Serene. It's a cream that you can rub on your temples or on your wrist or wherever. And it literally puts you to sleep in like 5 minutes.
It's yeah. So I think it has GABA and L-theanine. So if you're having a hard time, you know, adjusting to different time zones, melatonin isn't always recommended when you're trying to conceive because it can disrupt your ovulation. Unless you're going through IVF, then it's totally fine. But for someone who is either in the 2 week wait or right around ovulation, Needed has an amazing stress support, or it's a relaxation and resting support. So sleep and relaxation. It also has L-theanine and some other things that are safe during pregnancy. So if you're out of the 2 week wait, Be Serene by Healthy Gut is a great option. Needed is a great option as well. They're rest and relaxation. So those are kind of some of the tips for traveling. The last thing I want to talk about is making energy bubbles when around others. Can you just speak to that?
Absolutely. So the energy with which we go into places is often very leaky, because however we experience ourselves, whether we're more internal and we can experience being inside of ourselves, or whether we're more external, I don't necessarily mean being an introvert or extrovert, but however you experience yourself, like, are you inside of your mind and your body and you're very aware of what's happening here? Or are you pretty external, where you're constantly focusing on other people and how they're feeling or what they're thinking, or if they're having a good time, or what they're thinking about you? Or if you're prioritized and thinking about a lot of what's external of you, then your energy can be kind of leaky. So I teach my people something called bubble building, which is not necessarily a way to protect yourself, because I don't believe that you're in danger or that you have to protect. It's more about preserving. So it's kind of like having a coat on, right? We don't walk around society naked. We have clothes on. So wearing a bubble is kind of like wearing an energetic piece of clothing. And the bubble, think of it like, if you've ever seen the movie Bubble Boy, it's kind of like that, but in your imagination. So you're existing in this space around you that's about an arm's length, or maybe even a half an arm's length, in every direction around you, above you, below you, behind you, in front of you, and to the sides. And in this bubble, you get to be you. You have your own thoughts, your own feelings, your own emotions, and everything that's going on outside of you is secondary. So it's like you're wearing earmuffs, or again, like you're wearing clothes. You don't feel the sun on your skin when you have clothes on, but you can still feel the warmth of it. Mm-hmm. That's kind of similar with people's energies or their thoughts or their feelings. So being in public places or even around your family, it can help give you a layer of preservation that can make sure that you don't get too much emotion or energy or negative thought processes or patterns from others. An exercise that I lead people through in one of the programs that I have for highly sensitive people. That's called bubble building. So if you're interested in learning about more of your sensitivities, or if you are a highly sensitive person and how to really support yourself with that, feel free to refer to that. It's on thesavvysensitive.com. I don't mean to put a plug or promotion, but no, that exercise for bubble building is in that. It's the program's like $97. It's very affordable. So
yeah, I'll put the link.
Really helpful.
I'll put the link in the show notes for anyone. And I learned about bubble building from you, and I think it's amazing. And everyone, even if you don't think you're highly sensitive, the course that you did is amazing and so worth it. And for someone who's like, well, I don't know if I'm highly sensitive, can you just quickly run through what someone might feel? Like, the things that are coming to my mind is if you feel kind of drained after being in a social gathering, if you feel sensitive to chemicals, lights, toxins, food, like, can you just walk us through if someone is someone who's more sensitive? Because they're going to be the ones who are maybe picking up on all of the stuff that we've talked about and being impacted by it, even though everyone should be aware of it during the holidays and when trying to conceive. But can you just quickly mention for anyone who might be sensitive and would benefit from your course?
Totally. So to Leah, Dr. Gordon's point, she is mentioning how, like, it doesn't necessarily matter if you're highly sensitive or not. You could still be impacted by the toxins, the scents, the food, all those things. But again, yeah, if you have a certain susceptibility to feeling really overwhelmed easily, that's one of the biggest red flags. Like, overwhelmed either in, you know, the outside world, outside of your house, in the grocery store, or with lots of people, when there's a lot of noise. If you're sensitive to light, sounds, smells, textures, those can be indications that you're a highly sensitive person. And just to be really clear about it, a highly sensitive person is not a disorder. It's not a personality trait, actually. It's a genetic temperament. So you're born this way or you're not born this way. And there's a spectrum. It's not like a hot or cold yes or no. You can be more sensitive and less sensitive. So wherever you are on the range, all of these things are still going to be very helpful for you. It's honestly helpful for any human being. Mm-hmm. But if you're on the higher end of the scale, not only learning about it, but then also learning the tools for it can be massively life-changing, because mm-hmm. our sensitivities can sometimes be our Achilles heel and the things that make us feel the worst or that we're insecure about or that we don't know how to handle. And when you have the right tools, just like with anything, then you're more empowered and you get mm-hmm. to use your sensitivity as a superpower and really know how to support yourself so that these situations don't feel so overwhelming and that you're not drained. Also, one myth I want to break is that highly sensitive people are introverts. That is not true. There is a subset of extroverted, highly sensitive people as well, and highly sensitive people that are high sensation seeking. So even if you're somebody that loves to go out clubbing and to the parties and you want to be around a lot of people, you could still be a highly sensitive person. I'm not saying that this is the population that would be doing that, because obviously you guys are nesting, you're, you know, wanting to conceive and have a baby, but honestly, even just learning about this stuff can be really helpful for your baby too, because the more that you can mm-hmm. preserve your family and your energy and be aware of the fact that there are higher sensitivity beings being born now in this day and age, and that we as humans are just getting more sensitive because we're evolving and progressing, in my opinion, like energetically, then it can be really, really valuable.
I wish that our family, that my parents and me as well, had the course that you created when you were born.
Me too.
Because your entire life would be different, I think. And so you've given such a gift to the world. And yeah, I agree. I mean, we've talked a lot about health tips while trying to conceive. A lot of them have to do with, you know, being sensitive to those things. Everyone would benefit, even if they're not a highly sensitive person. But you make a great point that when you're trying to conceive, you obviously want to have a child. That's step number one. But once you have a child, there is a lot to navigate around that piece. And having this information, not only for yourself, maybe for family members, but also for the children that you're going to bring into the world, is so valuable, because it would just completely change how you manage your life. And so thank you so much.
Of course.
This has been such an amazing episode. I know you've given so many practical tips. Where can people find you and learn more? You mentioned your course, but just say it all the places for people to find you.
Okay. Well, I have to put a little caveat in that I love social media for certain things, and I personally don't engage with it very much. It's something that has to do with me being a highly sensitive person. It's just not the place for me. So, even though I have a lot to give and I have a lot to share, I don't really give it on social media. So just putting that out there. I do have a website that is thesavvysensitive.com, savvy spelled with two V's, S-A-V-V-Y, the savvy sensitive. And you can read a little bit about highly sensitive people there. And that's where you can find the course as well. And I have some videos, because I've made a good effort. I've attempted and I've tried. I've tried to do social media. So I do have a savvy sensitive Instagram and TikTok, but you know, Leah mentioned how like my life has been a certain way. It's been really challenging and really hard in so many ways because I am a highly sensitive person, and we didn't have these tools that I now have when I was little or in a lot of my development. So yeah, I just go in and out of it, but there are some videos there. There can be really, really helpful. And the course is at thesavvysensitive.com. And then you can read more about me specifically at sadieackerman.com.
Awesome. I love that. Thank you so much. And thank you for being here.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me. It was really fun.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Healthy as a Mother podcast. In order for others to hear this information, please leave a review with Apple Podcasts, subscribe, and send to a friend who could benefit from this content. We're so excited to share more on becoming and being a mother next time.
And please remember that the ideas and views of this podcast are for informational purposes only and are not intended to serve as a substitute for medical care of any kind, including the diagnosis or treatment of any illness or disease.
consult with your provider before integrating this information into your own care plan. And remember, a healthier future starts now, and it starts with you.